Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
And I really didn't get after it like you would have thought I would. Pot roast, carrots. Carrots is really the only thing that I can't really go with because, you know, the carbs. But carrots, onions, didn't even have any potatoes. I didn't even really go ape, although I did have a straw burrito.
A straw burrito?
I kind of like it. What I like to do is get some crushed ice, and I like to make a little frozen margarita myself. But that's about as far as I went. Straw burrito, baby. And I had a Mr. Goodbar. I had a candy bar, straw burrito. But really, everything I ate for dinner, I really could just eat on keto.
But bottom line, you broke your diet again.
Don't say that like that to me.
But that's basically again. What
but
you're
I
saying.
But I told you I was going to.
This I don't care surprise. If you told me or not. Bottom line, you broke your diet
are you gonna,
again.
Are you going to start this week off this hateful? Good God.
Oh, now the truth is hate.
Yeah.
I thought that was the opposite of what we wanted this show to be about. We can be honest. We can point out facts, and it's not hateful.
I just hope you go get a haircut this week.
It's like it's a fact you can't take
Friday.
A charge.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't notice.
How could you not notice? That's a lie. That's a lie. We are not starting the show on that. You can tell I got my haircut, you son of a...
He heard. I couldn't.
Show, good morning.
Did you?
Man, every once in a while, sports...
I couldn't.
Sports gives you those moments that really tug at the heartstrings.
Hey, your little girl always says at the end of the games, Dad, could you hear me out there on the field? I was saying, go, Daddy, go. Could you hear her today?
I heard her today. What a game. And just so proud of our team. I mean, the support here tonight was like a home game. We could have been at Gillette Stadium. Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. How could this not motivate you?
She's just not good enough. Just not good enough. I'm looking at it right now. Pathetic performance. All right. I watch Riley Curry. And thank you, the audio courtesy of CBS. But I watch Riley Curry as a 3-4-year-old be able to put it together as a championship kid. A person who's had experience. I've watched LeBron Jr. I've watched LeBron's children, even the daughter, be able to put it together as a champion. How old is this young lady?
Six.
Six? That's what she gave us? Pathetic. She's better than that. How many championships has he won?
Six.
How many has she won since she's been alive? What, three? She's been there before.
She's been to like five.
She's been to Super Bowls.
Probably.
She's won championships. And it appeared like she was like Will Ferrell. She didn't know what to do with her hands. She didn't know what to do. She's better. She has to be more equipped and more ready for a celebration.
There was confetti falling from the sky. You never get used to that.
You thought that was a good performance by her. You weren't disappointed.
She's a six-year-old.
I'll take the bullets. Fine. It's all right. I don't know. I watched Bill Belichick's granddaughter, who clearly hasn't been is around as many championship celebrations as she has, be able to hold it together and put it together and do what she needed to do as a championship kid.
Well, that's because Bill Belichick's daughter instills the fear of God in that little girl.
Thank you. She's ready. That little girl has been through three championships. Not good enough.
But chill, that's because no one's laying down the law at home. You think Giselle's a yeller? You think Tom?
I think Giselle is a yeller.
Stop.
I think Giselle's a yeller.
Bill Belichick's daughter. She's the one that yells at the kids.
I think all of it.
Aunt Pamela. She's the only one that can yell at Tom's kids.
Tom's laying it down here. Yes, I think she is a screamer. But come on, man. Did you see Riley Curry? Riley Curry commanded. And I thought she was doing too much, but she at least commanded an audience.
Now, that's where you lose me.
She commanded an audience with hers. She took over the press conference. She wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. She looked like Jared Goff out there at times. And this was not her first Super Bowl.
You lose me with Riley Curry. She was just as annoying.
Oh, I'm not saying she wasn't just as annoying. Riley Curry was annoying. And I felt like they needed to get a handle on her. But at least she appeared to look like she'd been there before.
But if there was confetti falling from the sky, I'm sure Riley would have.
No, she's a veteran.
Daddy love!
No, she's a veteran. LeBron's kids damn sure didn't. She's a veteran. Riley would have fought right through that. Riley's younger than her. Did you see her?
I don't remember little LeBron up there.
You don't remember?
Which
you don't
title
remember
was that?
Bronny up there?
No.
You don't remember Bronny up there? The last one, all three of them were there. Against Cleveland, Bronny.
Was he holding them during
Maximus?
A ceremony
no,
like
old.
Steph was, like Tom
no,
was?
No, they're old enough. They
oh,
were
well,
sitting
then
there.
It doesn't count.
They were
You're
sitting
bringing
there.
Up poor they were, references.
And he was holding up his daughter. Yes, she was younger. He was holding up his daughter.
Say that I'm starting the show hateful.
She was a championship daughter. Tom Brady's daughter has more experiences than LeBron's kids do. And that wasn't good enough.
How could this not motivate you?
Yeah. Some kids get to be. Jared Goff, if he had children, first timer.
No, he's too
You
big.
Give her that. You give her that. Yeah. Pat Mahomes, he has kids, first timer. You've won three championships. You're six. You got to be ready. I know my son have been ready. My son have been ready.
Tom Brady lets his kids run around at the restaurant and just laugh.
Oh, obviously. Clearly. They're the ones who do whatever the hell they want to do at the restaurant. She orders drinks on her own. She orders beers. She orders Coke.
Because no one's yelling at her.
50. No, you don't have to yell. You don't have to yell. You can be firm. My mama didn't yell at me. Just a look. They're just not ready. They should be championship children. And that wasn't a good enough performance. Someone's got three championships, not good enough.
I'm pretty numb right now, but definitely I got outcoached, and I didn't do nearly good enough for a football team. You know, the thing that's so tough about all of this is that, you know, the finality to it. You know, usually when you get a chance, if you go through some adversity, you can bounce back right away. This one's going to stick with you and just stings in your gut. And like I said, I'm still kind of numb right now, but I have so much love for these players and these coaches, and that's where, you know, it eats at you because you feel like you didn't do your part to help them.
That's Sean McVay, who, honestly, if you watched that game last night, Chiefs fans should have been reminded of a lot in that game. Sean McVay pulled a Bob Sutton in that game. And one of the real issues with Bob Sutton, and then this is something that we started to hear from players as well, is Bob Sutton is going to do what he does. There's no change. There's no adjustments. There's not any of that. Bob Sutton is going to do what he does. They're going to play man. They're not going to move corners. They're just going to say, like Novocaine, we'll get to you. And that's what Sean McVay did. The most surprising thing from the game was how badly he was outcoached to me. And I know Belichick is the greatest, but Sean McVay had 2 weeks to game plan. There was nothing different. Sean McVay had one of the longest halftimes ever. There was nothing different. They ran the same formation sets. They did the same things they always do. And the Patriots did a bunch of different things that they never, ever changed or adjusted to. It was so Bob Sutton-like, it was scary, that Sean McVay just there was not a single adjustment that was really made. I'll take that back. The one adjustment they made was they stayed in the huddle prior to 15 seconds when the voice communication cuts off between the coach and the quarterback. so that New England couldn't see that. That was the only different thing they did in the second half. Besides that, there was nothing different to try to get, when he had him on the field, Todd Gurley involved. Nothing different to try to get Cooks away from Gilmore. Nothing. I mean, there was just, they just ran everything that you watched them run all year long, and there was no different. And for somebody who has appeared the last couple of years to be as innovative as Sean McVay was, a lot of people thought Sean McVay was right there with Andy Reid. Didn't see that yesterday.
And he may be. I appreciate you tying it in locally with Bob Sutton, but I feel like you are doing a disservice to Sean McVay when you look at what he had last night. He didn't have the equivalent of Chris Jones and Dee Ford. Right? Bob Sutton, when facing Bill Belichick and everyone this season, he had one of the three best rush linebackers and one of the three best defensive linemen in all of football. And he allowed the Patriots to completely eliminate them from the game. The Rams last night had what has to be an injured Todd Gurley and it overrated Jared Goff. I look at that weaponry at the disposal of Sean McVay going up against the defense of Bill Belichick, and I don't think it's fair to say he's working with the same things that Bob Sutton was when he was squaring off with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots offense. Without Todd Gurley at an MVP level, going up against that defense, to me, that offense, even with an exceptional offensive mind that Sean McVay is told to be, I feel like that is a... I feel like you're not giving Todd Gurley the proper amount of respect.
No, F that. No. Sean McVay, they didn't try anything. They didn't try anything.
What can you try when your quarterback is endlessly hassled and your running game is a 300-pounder?
But there was nothing to do. But they just kept running their same plays. And you're an innovative guy.
They don't have game breakers.
We even saw – but Vern, no. No, you had
the
you
Chiefs
could try
had Pat and Tyreek and Travis. You have three
you
dynamic
can,
players.
You can
they
say,
had none.
You can that's not true. I disagree with you. I don't think Brandon Cooks had a great night. Well, I mean his numbers were great, but he didn't have a great. But that's a guy who can get open. And Robert Woods generally a guy that could get open. There was something
not if your quarterback
there
can't
was
handle the pressure or read the defense.
And they didn't help up front with their quarterback to do anything. And Todd Gurley, you could only guess by his usage rate there was something there. But sure as hell, when he was in the game at times, when he was running the football and he got loose, he looked right.
No.
He looked half right.
But I've seen Tyreek look half right, and it's not the same. He's not the dynamic player.
He looked right enough to get touches. He looked right enough to get 10 in a game
but he
that
doesn't,
was.
And I don't believe Sean McVay's an idiot.
In a game that was 3-3, they didn't even try to run the football or try to do anything to slow down the pass rush. He is thought of to be too good of an offensive mind to keep running out and doing the same thing. There was no change.
I'm not saying he is that offensive mind. I'm just saying don't lump him in there with Bob Sutton, who allowed Chris Jones and Dee Ford to be taken out of the game.
But he did a Bob Sutton. Even if you're shorthanded, Vern, do something. They came into the game he knew what Gurley's health was, right, coming to the game. There was no other backup thought process of doing anything different.
Because there's no one that can duplicate what Todd Gurley does.
No, but that's silly. Even when Andy doesn't have Jamaal Charles and he goes down, they figure out a way to do something different with their team. They figure out a way to do – even when
I've never
Sammy
put
Watkins
Sean McVay with Andy Reid, though. This has to do with you comparing him to
Bob
Sutton.
Well, then I'll do it. That guy is too good of a coach to not have anything else as a game plan. And he didn't. And he looked really Bob Sutton-like. And that was the most surprising thing to me that I saw all game. All right, so the reaction from Chiefs fans to Pat Mahomes winning the MVP was really interesting to me. And I'll be honest, this time I was shocked after the Colts game. I'm not shocked anymore on Chiefs fans' reactions.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Coming up, remember tomorrow, come hang out with us. We will be at Winning Streak at Harris Casino. K-State, KU, a big game in the Big 12. Baylor is atop the standings with K-State. If Kansas is able to get a road victory, that could go a long way to them getting back atop the Big 12. So come out, hang out with myself, Vern, Serto, be out there at Winning Streaks at Harris Casino.
I'm truly honored to win the NFL's Most Valuable Player Award. When you look at this award, you see the rich history that it has. You see guys like Elway and Favre, Manning and Brady, and many more. And I'm so humbled that I can be sharing this prestigious honor with them. This season was special, and there was a lot of people that helped me get to this point. First, I just want to thank God, because without him, none of this would even be here. Next, I want to thank my family, my mom and dad, my brother and sister who aren't here, and my rock, Brittany, who keeps this show rolling every single day. I have to thank the Chiefs organization for believing in me, the Hunt family, Brett Veach, my coaches, Coach Reed, Coach Kafka, Coach Bieniemy, and most of all the players. I mean, they give me their all every single day, and this is an award for all of us. Thank you all.
That was courtesy of Steve Harvey and CBS.
I wish people could have seen Show's reaction to listening to Patrick Mahomes' acceptance speech.
I think I'm grumpy today, and I think obviously it's YouTube's fault. I think that's correct English.
Because you can't take a charge.
I think it's you all's fault. You have put me in. I was in a great mood when I walked in here until I saw you two.
That's our leader, everyone. Right to 15th. If she's your rock, don't you have to marry her?
No. Russell's taught us that. Well, I guess you could marry her and divorce her. She could be your rock right now.
But if you say someone's your rock, I think that means you must marry them.
I've had a couple rocks. And the only rock that I have now is my wife. But I've had some people who I may have thought in the moment were a rock. Okay. That were not.
I've never said that to anyone in my life.
One damn sure wasn't no rock.
Yeah, I feel like.
He goes nuts.
Well, the Nets are. So you thought someone that was nuts was your rock?
Is that a bad place, man? Wasn't thinking right. Luckily, my wife saved me. But the reaction from people, I'm not shocked anymore. The Colts' reaction was just blew me away. The divisional round win that didn't come with anything that put people in. This was the greatest sports moment of my life, even though the Royals won a World Series. This is the greatest, like crying and stuff. This didn't surprise me. There were people who were unloading it. I mean, not even the fact that you knew that he was going to win this award 4.5 months ago, it feels like. You knew how, I don't know how long it's been that everyone has just known he was the league MVP and still reacted like you never saw it.
I think that might be a little bit much. 4.5 months ago. I mean, even
I'm being stupid, but okay. you've known for a long time.
At least a month and a half, you've known that Patrick Mahomes was going to win the MVP. He won every other MVP. Right? The ESPN, the Sports Illustrated, the Sporting News, Pro Football Focus, everyone had named him the MVP. So, but man, it even happened in my own household. Like my fiance, who doesn't care about football, she watched that Paul Rudd video of him sobbing about how difficult it's been to be a Chiefs fan and then
crying,
anointing Patrick Mahomes the MVP. Nobody was laying it on a little thick, pointing out Andrew Luck and recovering his own fumble, and then Marcus Mariota asking if he was in the building, and when learning that he wasn't, celebrating that he wasn't there. It just all seemed kind of... I don't know. It wasn't surprising. You're right.
No.
People love Pat. We celebrated, Kansas City celebrated 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. It was the biggest thing to happen in the city next to ending the 25-year-old playoff drought at Arrowhead. Yeah, that was the number one thing accomplished this season. And then everything that Pat did, I would think, took second to it. But the celebration that many people had to an award that we knew was coming for a month and a half, I thought was... I don't want to say unbecoming of Kansas City, because I understand you're still in that honeymoon this 23-year-old. I understand that. You know what it is? It worries me about the future. It worries me that this 23-year-old with 19 games under his belt is already your favorite chief of all time. Meaning, I just get nervous as far as holding him to a fair expectation, demanding certain things out of him and the organization. And like we've talked a lot about this season, not being blinded by his greatness. Because this could be a thing where he wins another 3 or 4 MVPs, and yet the focus should be more on the team and the organization. I agree this kid's unbelievable, special, MVP at 23. We all understand that. I'm just hoping we can turn the page soon, start to look at ourselves as an organization that other people are envious of because of Patrick Mahomes, accept that and move on and start demanding things. Start having that Patriots mindset almost. Instead of being infatuated with the person, start to dream bigger as a city. Start to dream about multiple Super Bowl titles more so than how we've been wronged in previous seasons and how we've had our hearts broken in postseasons before.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. I don't know. Maybe prior to the Colts game, this would have done something to me where I would have been like, good God, guys. But this cat just does something to people. I didn't even watch the Paul Rudd thing. I did see some people on Twitter losing their minds and talking about this is one of the greatest moments to ever happen to me, which, like I said, I am no longer surprised by that.
Yeah, like the realization of the best player in the NFL resides in Kansas City. Let that wash over you, Chiefs fans. Like, yeah, I did that like 3 months ago, and now I'm ready to win a title with this kid.
I don't think they are. He just does something to people.
Just grinding it out day after day. Players have come in. They worked extremely hard. We've had our ups and downs over the course of the year. But in the biggest moments when we had to play our best football and compete the hardest, they did it. Again, I can't say enough about them. The coaching staff, Brian Flores, Josh McDaniels, Joe Judge, and all the rest of the staff. Certainly our conditioning, Moses Cabrera and the strength conditioning staff. I mean, just they all did a great job. It was a great team win. And just extremely proud of everybody. And
that's Will Belichick. Listen, Belichick and Brady get deserved credit. All right, they are the two greatest at probably the two most important positions in football, at head coach and quarterback. But if you watch yesterday's game, to me, it was about the players as much as it was about the scheme. And Belichick put together a great game plan, which you knew he would. But for them to be as dominant as they were, man, I said this to you, Bob Sutton could have been out there calling defensive calls. Those players, there were players on that defense individually who were just making plays that I don't think anybody could have effed up. I mean, Stephon Gilmore was absolutely one of the best performances from a corner you've seen in a big spot. I mean, Brandon Cooks, it looks on paper, had a good game, but he shut him down. And every time virtually every time he was covering him, either it was a really tough catch or he got a pick, forced a fumble in the game. He was fantastic. Hightower, who some of us thought had lost a step, couldn't be blocked or couldn't be defended at any form of where he was in the middle of the field, off the edge. The entire defensive line, Van Oy, was unblockable from the right tackle. That's one of the best offensive lines in football, who had played every snap together all year long or started every game together all year long. They were awful. And it wasn't just scheme. It was because individually Flowers and then were just kicking their asses all the way through. That performance from the secondary I haven't seen in a long time. Patrick Chung, before he went out, was really good. Like, Belichick and them get deserved credit, but his players were amazing in that game yesterday.
No question. And that has been the case throughout this dynasty of the Patriots. It's Deion Branch and Adam Vinatieri, Malcolm Butler, Troy Brown. In every one of these Super Bowls, there has to be, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, other guys step up.
This felt
occasional
more than
Pro Bowlers, the occasional All-Pro, but the constant is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, so of course they're going to receive the lion's share.
It just felt even worse, man. It was like, my goodness. I mean, nothing. I'd seen Brandon Cox. Let's just go to break. Brandon Cox.
Brian Cox.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Hey, we got some breaking news, isn't that right, Serta? The Royals have come up. I mean, shut up.
Oh. I know for sure that's what you're
The Royals have come up with a new slogan.
Yeah.
At one point, it was Forever Royal. Come home with me. It's our time. Now it's always Royal. Isn't that right?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Always Royal. That's right, Billy Hamilton. Always Royal.
And don't forget, Royals fans, starting this Thursday, 6 o'clock, Cody Tapp. It's now baseball season,
woo,
right?
Woo.
Hot stove with our new Royals insider, Cody Tapp, debuts this Thursday, 6 o'clock, right here on your home for Royals baseball for more than a decade now, Ron. Can you believe that? 610 Sports Radio.
You know what, Falcons, honestly, it made my career to come here. It really did. Nothing against Kansas City. I was there 12 years, but only 3 playoff games. But when I got to Atlanta, it's like all of a sudden now you're part of this winning organization. We're on TV every week now. I'm doing Monday night football, Sunday night football games. I love it here. I love being back here.
So I'll say this. I can understand both sides. I can understand why Chiefs fans listen to that comment and get them. Because if you know fans are not really thinking logically. And at some points, we don't treat these guys like, you know, they would have human thoughts. So I can understand why Chiefs fans could be really, really annoyed by what Tony Gonzalez said. But I understand what he's saying. Let me tell you, these are from dealing with athletes, and it doesn't even take for what we do. I think people who watch the sport can even understand. You know, there are two things that athletes want to do, and that is financially take care of their family and then win and have success, which is what I always tell you, don't disrespect the ultimate prize of this sport of what they do. And so Tony Gonzalez obviously was able to make money and take care of his family. But what he's saying there, to me, I don't take that as him giving the up yours to Chiefs fans. I think he's speaking honestly. To him, outside of making money, being successful in the playoffs is something, or at least moving. And in a 5-year span, he was much more successful making it to the playoffs and playing in more playoff games than he did in a full 12 years in Kansas City. You know, weren't a lot of good teams. As you know, hell, the Chiefs didn't win a playoff game since 94 until Houston a few years ago, so he didn't advance in the playoffs. Here, he was a Colin Kaepernick drive away from going to the Super Bowl. That means he was in the NFC Championship game. That means when he came to Atlanta, when he says, hey, this made my career, I had never experienced postseason success, which is huge for athletes. Outside of the money, this is the ultimate thing. You know, he didn't just do this to get rich because he continued to be productive and work hard. And so when he got to Atlanta, played in the NFC Championship game, was a drive away from going to the Super Bowl, the ultimate prize, I can see he got to experience success in the playoffs. And I think that's all he meant. But when you hear it and know how fans are, Vern, I'm not stupid. I can see how Chiefs fans can get annoyed because we as fans don't always think logically. You just feel the hurt. Oh, they made your career. Yeah. Like postseason success.
Right. No, hey, I wish people would toughen up a little bit and stop being so cliche. Stop being such a, as you put it eloquently a few months ago, having that Des Moines mindset. Like, no, again, you don't always have to be so defensive. But be proud. No, I don't understand. What did he say? First of all, what was the question that
I will
was
say
asked?
This isn't it just to probably Kansas City, though. This would happen in Boston. This would happen in Detroit. Like, fan bases, this is how fans are. I don't want to just say it's a small towny thing. I think this is how fans would be. If he said the same thing in Boston, I think they would lose it, too, like this.
Yeah, possibly. You might be right. But to me, it shows the inferiority complex that this city showcases far too often, in my opinion. Now, if it would have happened other places, yeah, possibly. But I knew it was going to happen here.
Oh, yeah.
I knew people were going to freak out, even though he never mentions, he doesn't dump on Kansas City. He doesn't put down the organization. He's likely asked a question about Atlanta while in Atlanta, and he answers it pro-Atlanta.
Because someone said here, one postseason win made his career. I kept saying that a lot. No, hold on. You don't get to have it both ways. Now, I done seen some of y'all out here crying your asses off after the divisional win against the Colts to get to the AFC Championship game. People falling all out over themselves over here. I can't believe we got to a place that I expected us to get to. I can't believe we won a game where we were. If it got you that damn emotional, imagine you being a player. How much did the Colts win make it for you as a fan? Imagine being a player who has never had any success and he went to the NFC Championship game. Hell yeah, it made it, having postseason success. That was the big thing he never reached. He didn't have any success in the postseason. This time, man, he actually got to a place where he was, as I said, a drive away. If you remember that 49ers game, Colin Kaepernick them let them on a drive at the end in the fourth quarter where he almost went to the Super Bowl. Just think about how it made it for you beating the Colts. Come on now.
Like you and a handful of people on the text line called me crazy on Friday when I said Tony Gonzalez someone that I believe Kansas City feels like they need to thank.
Well, I didn't know he was going to go heel.
That they wouldn't likely make the pilgrimage to Canton, Ohio because he's
right
not
now.
That type of player.
You're right now. I
he
didn't know that he was going
to
go
home. He was telling again. You, I'm not that type of player to you because we did nothing when I was there. We never won a playoff game. That's why you don't and you won't see a sea of red in Canton, Ohio for Tony Gonzalez. Now, when you
couple it now
with Robinson and Gonzalez, sure, there might be a solid group of red, but
no, he may
it's
get
not going to be
Chiefs
for
fans.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah,
he's telling you as much.
He went Hogan. He went Hollywood Hogan. I did not know he was going to go on a heel turn like that. So, yeah, hell yeah, you're right on that.
I wish he wouldn't have backtracked it.
He might have more Atlanta fans out there.
I don't want to play his apology.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he was for it.
He apologized.
But I don't think I don't think he did anything wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
According to the Westgate Superbook, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are the favorite to win the Super Bowl next season, which will be held in Miami. They open with 6-1 odds. The Rams, Saints, and Patriots are all at 8-1.
And for being the favorite, 6-1, that's still pretty good odds.
Is
if
it?
You want to lay some money down.
I don't know what that means.
If you lay down 100, you win 600.
You think that should be? You know gambling. You think that should be? That's the right move that they should do?
Yeah, Pat's sexy. You're just trying to get money right now.
Yeah. You going to lay anything down?
No. Because then I won't be able to be unbiased throughout the season. I'll just be a complete Chiefs honk and be just devastated after every loss and over the moon after every win. I can't do that.
We kind of want that for you.
I don't want that for myself.
913, I'm going for Ty Law. Screw Tony.
Hey, I'm with you. I'll be there, too. Good Michigan man. Another Michigan man into Canton.
They just keep finding their way for you to be able to say that.
Well, Brady won't be too far behind. Charles Woodson, Steve Hutchinson. It's a good run.
Steve Hutchinson better have to wait as long as Will Shields.
No question. In my opinion. No doubt. Yeah, he's not half the guard that Will Shields was.
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski was asked about his potential retirement after last night's Super Bowl win. Said, tonight it's about celebrating with my teammates. That decision will be made in a week or two.
I hope Rob just sits out the first 10 weeks next year and then comes and starts playing late in the year.
But does cool stuff during those first 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Like out and about.
Yeah.
Like a reality show.
Just comes in late. Yeah, that would be cool to me.
And I hope he doesn't have a well-thought-out reason. Just whenever they catch him on the street, just, I really don't feel like it right now.
I'm good.
No real excuse. No well-thought-out plan to get more money.
Not even the wrestling thing. None of that. Come in about week, 12, 13.
With those big old vacation sunglasses on. They're too big for your head.
You think he'd stay in shape?
He loves working out.
Yeah.
He seems like that guy.
Yeah, he does. He looked like he was in some pain though this year. That 2 weeks helped him, though. He looked a lot better. Coming up, we do this every Monday, Weekend Hugs. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line. Text in your Weekend Hug.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Man, Popeye's Black and Ranch is the best. I don't know what they put in that stuff. Coming up here in about 5 minutes, your Weekend Hugs. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line. Send them in. There are already some good ones coming in. Your Weekend Hugs, as we do every Monday. Vern, I'm gonna tell you what now. You are not a Chiefs fan.
No.
You are not a Chiefs fan at all.
I'm a Michigan fan.
And there's not been a lot of guys outside of maybe PAT to get you in this place, but I was surprised to hear this morning. Chris Jones puts you in a place of sports hauntiness.
Right.
There was a pure sports hauntiness that he got you in.
Yeah, probably for the first time since right before the AFC title game started.
Will you tell him to leave? Go ahead.
Right before they took on the Patriots in the AFC title game, I had the same juices flowing through me that I did last night at about 10 o'clock. You know, the Super Bowl, yeah, it was fine, but it really didn't get me going. It didn't make me, as Show would say,
sports horny.
Not at all. But about 10 o'clock, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I see Chris Jones tweet out a simple tweet. It simply says, "We will win it next year."
Mm. That's it.
And I'm lying in bed going,
is that a hashtag? Hashtag, we will win it next year.
That's a little long.
He should have had something.
Win it next year.
That's it. He got you.
Because I could envision Chris Jones. This isn't a guy that is trying to butter up to the fan base. He's not blowing smoke. This is, again, the guy that said last year, we will be in the AFC title game, and that ultimately came to fruition. Chris Jones, ever since I learned the three things that he writes on his mirror every morning to motivate him.
What were they?
Make someone smile, become stronger in my faith, and then something else that is very nice and very sincere. I forgot what the third one is. I do not have all three of them. Nonetheless, none of them had to do with football. They were all about being a good person. They were about character. They were about honesty. Man, Chris Jones, to add this to the list, if this is now his mindset going into this offseason, Chris Jones might mess around and find himself first-team All-Pro next year. Chris Jones might join that Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes class of, man, clearly the best at their position. Yeah, that got me fired up because now I believe he carries that into the offseason, into training camp, and that kind of an attitude, that focus, that true, honest belief, that stuff permeates. That has a way to uplift others. Yeah, Chris Jones got me all sorts of fired up last night. I love it. I look, I was already excited about next season. How can you not be excited about year two of Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek? You know the offense. They're all back. Mm-hmm. Dee Ford's likely going to be back. And now you have a about 24-year-old in Chris Jones just about to enter his prime. And this kid's motivated, unlike maybe anybody else in that locker room. Sign me up all day.
I believe it really touched you. That's big, because you weren't looking for that. That was after the game. You weren't looking for that. You were just, I just wish I could have been there to see.
I was in bed. You'll never be in my bedroom.
That's not true. I will be. I know there's going to be something. You're going to need help being put up or anything, and I'm going to be your man.
I'll literally ask anyone else in the world before I allow you in my bedroom. Like, I don't want you to know the layout.
Oh,
I don't want you to see our bedspread.
Yes.
I don't want you to know which left or right, which door.
My dream is to know which side that you lay on. Which is your side? Oh, God. Do you have a little dresser or something where you can put your stuff up on your side? How is it laid out?
No, I just throw my phone on the floor like an animal.
I do. I
take out the whole bed.
I used to have something to put stuff up.
You mean like an end table or a night table?
I used to have something, but then I had to move
it. A nightstand?
I used to have something, but then I had to move it because we needed to put the humidifier on top of it to go around the house. So now I just throw it on the ground beside.
Wait, you plug it into the charger and just throw it on the floor?
Yeah, it's a charger. It's plugged in and on the ground.
Well, I apologize for that comment I just made. It makes sense why you don't have one. I'm not judging.
No, I didn't. There's probably another thing that I could do to put something there, but I just hadn't got around to it.
Well, now I feel bad.
I just want to know which. Are you on the left or right side?
You'll never know.
Please.
No.
Katie, you know how to contact me. KB, is he on the left or the right side? But hold on. There is one single side, right?
Again, I'm not an animal. Of course there
of course.
Is.
All right, so there is one single side you get in.
Of course.
Because sometimes I want to mess with my wife and switch it up. I want to get it and just sleep on her side.
That won't play.
But she got too many things over there. She got a monitor. She got 16 pairs of glasses. All right.
Weekend hugs.
What the hell's going on? You guys have put me in a grip. What's a night table? A grumpy mood, I told you. Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line. Send in your weekend hug.
I couldn't find nightstand.
From the 913, Kyle Kuzma needs a hug after he got bodied by Boogie. My God to mercy. Good heavens. Boogie just, and he stood and stared. They couldn't even get a tech. And then, to be honest, and I am a Kansas fan, to go along with it, Abaji, he needs a hug too, and BS from that official, because he got his ass dunked on by Jarrett Culver, a Texas Tech, and they had the audacity to call in a block. If you get dunked on, it should automatically be they call it a charge. It should automatically be a block. Jarrett Culver just boomed on Abaji, and they call that offensive foul. No, he dunks, it's got to be a block. Sorry, that was ridiculous. From the 816, weekend hug goes to the entire New Orleans Saints organization. How they got robbed 2 weeks ago, they would have scored more than a field goal.
That's starting to drive me nuts.
Someone then ended with, I know Ron will love this one. No, I won't. Pisses me off. Chiefs and Saints, they would have done it. I'm telling you, they couldn't beat the teams that played it.
That's what I don't understand. That's what I don't get. Nice. Yeah. Good point. Good.
Go ahead. Serta, what's your weekend hug, you nasty scoundrel?
I want to hug Maroon 5 because I don't feel like their halftime show was that horrible, but it's just a pastime now that no matter who the halftime act is at the Super Bowl, they're getting absolutely crazy.
They didn't do that to Prince.
Or Bruno Mars or Beyonce.
Bruno was amazing. Yeah. Big Boy, when he came out, I hadn't heard that hit for a minute. I hadn't heard that hit. And I just wish he got more than 38 seconds. But I hadn't heard that hit. That done it for me. Weekend hug to Tony Romo for finally making the Super Bowl. Tony wasn't great last night.
But I'll give him credit for making that joke right out of the gate. Hey, I finally made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he got it out the way. He pulled the B-Rabbit 8-mile thing. I'll get it out before you can. From the 816, my weekend hug goes to Pizza Street. Great pizza, great price. All you can eat for $4.99. But now it is $2.99. I was driving Sunday, and I saw it on a billboard. Pizza Street, buffet $2.99. What are we doing here?
Giving them free advertising, apparently.
No, nobody.
Yeah, but see, they get you with the drinks. Because when you get the drink costs like $4.
Whatever. $2.99, I don't give a rip.
You got to get them early to get one by Serta.
Yeah. I don't give that.
We should all go to Pizza Street together.
No, I'm not. Hell no. When that, I got a pass on a buffet. I got a pass on a buffet that's $2.99. I got a pass on a beef, on a buffet for $2.99. This is worse than the Burger King 10 nuggets for a dollar we discussed Friday. That's ridiculous. I mean, come on. CeCe's ain't putting it together like that.
Let's get it.
No. You want to go? How about you go and we watch you?
That's fine.
What's the one that Ryan LaFever's always talking about?
Pizza Street.
No, there's another one.
No, I mean, pizza.
The big Pizza Street.
For the win.
Oh, hell. Come on, Gary. Here. What's your weekend hug, and I'll come back. Pizza Ranch.
There you go. Oh, yes. Ryland Breeze. Ryland Breeze is Drew Breeze's daughter. You know she was sobbing watching Tom Brady take care of his daughter last night. It's a weekend hug to Ryland Breeze, who's never allowed any of the spotlight because her dad, Drew Breeze, wishes she was a boy.
I know she would have outperformed and would have been ready for the hold when they got the trophy. She would have crushed it. I saw her. She would have crushed it. Jared Goff for being the next Joe Flacco. Weekend hug. Weekend hug. Thankful for Netflix. Slid into that mid-third quarter. My goodness,
no,
really?
I don't.
Go ahead. That. Go ahead.
I don't believe that. It was a game. What was that? Look, it wasn't a blowout. We've seen bad Super Bowls. Those Cowboys Super Bowls, most of those were bad. At least the Bills won. That was a blowout. Broncos Panthers, that was a blowout. Give me a game like last
Seattle
night over a blowout.
Broncos, that was horrible. Weekend hug to Marcus Peters trying to cover last night. What are you talking about?
Oh, now you've been in text line.
What the hell are you talking about?
Text line.
Yeah, you know that's you could have used that son of a gun. I know he got two consecutive stops in the second half on third downs, which you couldn't find last week. The hell with that. Finally, my weekend hug goes to Patti LaBelle, who I believe was standing in front of the television, pissed off that Gladys Knight got the call to sing the national anthem and was out singing her in front of the TV and pissing everyone off around her who she was watching the Super Bowl on with, but they couldn't show it because Patti's the reason why all of them were there. You know she was. You know, she, because she shakes her hair. You know Patty without shaking her ass.
She's a sweater now.
Gladys who was dressed beautifully.
Under a minute 55, too.
But
that was a big win.
You know she was hot. Gladys, you know she talks fast. Gladys, I got to sing it. Gladys, I got to sing it. I would have killed her. She had a bowl with sweet potato. Gladys, I'm going to sing it. Oh, sick. She would have crushed her.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.